It is 4:44, time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. Well, the last two Tuesdays, holidays, and so we have missed Eric Meehan around these parts. 3 weeks since our last visit. I'm okay now that you're here, but it was rough.
You're speaking directly to the wine bottle. They can't say that, but I can see that.
Eric, you're here too.
That's right. Hello.
Oh, hi.
You mean 12,000th guest, Eric Meehan.
Yes.
I actually had that engraved on my backside. It's painful.
And 151 guests later, that's how long it's been.
My gosh. Yeah, I like that you keep a chart of that. That's actually pretty cool.
A little bit obsessive.
No, okay. It's your show.
Yeah.
It's like, what's his name on the radio who has the file on Tiger Woods? Like, that's obsessive. Weird. Like, every clipping from everything. That's strange to me, but whatever. So, new year, new you, new me, new us. The wine remains the same. But we're going to actually talk today about how the wine is not remaining the same and what we sort of saw in 2018 and looking forward to 2019. And we'll spend, as we have been doing, a couple months sort of getting to reacquaint ourselves with the who's, what's, where's, when's, why's of the wine world, and then exploring the wine world. And perhaps we'll talk tonight about some of the new countries that we'll get to start exploring over the next year and into the future. Looking back, it's actually kind of funny. I was kind of sitting and chatting with my manager today and talking about what was kind of hot this week. This year, and it's almost disappointing. You know, every year we come on this and I do all this research and I see what, you know, various people who theoretically know more than I do, or at least get paid more than I do to talk about wine, what they say is going to be hot. And now looking back, so this is in 2018. What was hot? Malbec, Sauvignon Blanc, Bordeaux, Spanish wines, and Portuguese, you know, and we sort of talk about why that's kind of coming on. Bubbles, you know, and everybody said, oh, this trend's going to be funky and this and this and this. Nothing really took hold as much as you might think. And you'll hear some familiar trends when we talk about what people are, you know, prognosticating for the new year. But I kind of thought that was really interesting that I, the more that Americans are starting to drink wine, and I think the more that they're discovering wine shops as opposed to, you know, supermarket shelves and things like that, they really want to kind of delve into what made wine great in the first place. And for better or worse, that means kind of finding the same old stuff that we've been finding ever since we started really sort of codifying why we like wine, besides getting drunk, which is also appropriate. So what's going on? What's apparently coming on strong? And when, you know, again, you're going to hear some familiar things, but it's kind of interesting. So we've been talking for years about Eastern Europe, the opening of Eastern Europe, and a lot of people are saying this year it's going to be Croatia. It's connected with Eastern European traditions. A lot of amphora winemaking, just like in the nation of Georgia, amphoras. So, of course, you know, the clay vessels that you bury in the earth to help moderate the temperature before they came up with these, you know, temperature-controlled Inox super tankers that they have in a lot of wineries now. They used the ground because it's, you know, it's marvelous for that. There's a lot of indigenous grapes as well in that part of the world that, for better or worse, I don't know particularly if any of the ones that I've tried are particularly great, but they're new, and I think that's kind of important to see what's out there and to see, again, as we've talked about fairly recently, wine really kind of grew up in that area, and it's interesting to kind of see what survived over hundreds of years and the stuff that we haven't been exposed to because, of course, the Iron Curtain, which was a long time ago, I grant you, though it may be slightly rising again, and unfortunately for that reason, perhaps with, you know, renewed tensions in some parts of the world over there, it's not the safest place to be a American wine importer. Mm-hmm. So take that for what it is, but people are talking about especially Croatia, so I thought that was kind of interesting. Talking about what's old is new again, and I like this. I hope this is true. Cabernet Franc not just from the Loire Valley, but kind of everywhere. And I was telling people, you know, freely Italy, certainly, but you're starting to see it grown in Washington State, California, a little bit even in South America, for instance, where in Argentina, where Malbec is great. I think you're going to really see some very, very interesting. And again, Cab Franc is fantastic. And one of the other people was talking about, and this is kind of applicable, just lighter wines, you know, lighter reds in general. Pinot Noir, we all know Pinot Noir, and that's great, and that's lovely, and that's fun. But things that aren't 14.5% alcohol, things that you can just have a glass of and then roll it right into dinner that you're having. The wine I wrote about this week, the Côte d'Aronne, another classic example. They you know, a lighter bodied one at least.
Well, last year, wasn't your message drink more rosé?
That's right. And actually, that's one that held. That's a trend that we saw that has held, and it's almost not a trend anymore. It's kind of, I'd like to say it's sort of been adopted now by Americans, but yes, that's true. And that's, you know, and I don't like to equate necessarily rosé with lighter reds, because especially like a Cab Franc, except there are Cab Franc rosés. But I think what I like most about Cab Franc and why that excites me is because it's not necessarily easy. Sometimes you're going to get like green bell pepper on it and things like that. But it's still fabulous and fun to drink, even though it's not just a fruit bomb. So we'll see. But that's kind of cool. I like that. This one's kind of interesting, and I hope it holds true, because it seemed like it was kind of teetering for a while. And of course, regardless of your political affiliations and beliefs, trade with our neighbors is not as easy as you might think. But this one, the Niagara Peninsula in Canada, not just for its ice wines, but they are very good and reasonably affordable, given that ice wines from Germany can cost hundreds of dollars. But the Niagara Peninsula puts out really, really nice ones. In fact, including the only one that's available in the United States, made of Cabernet Franc. Interesting. But also the grape Sauval Blanc, certainly some Rieslings, things like that. But also they're doing Pinot Noir, Bacco Noir, and other things like that up in that part of the world. And as they start to filter down, we'll see if they're big hits. I think that would be really cool. And speaking of that, and kind of why that's relevant, it was something else that is certainly, it's not a trend in wine, but it's a growing concern in wine, which is climate change. You really, though I have said, you know, that the California wildfires did not necessarily affect a lot of the grapes, some smoke taint, some people lost it, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, it's taking a tremendous toll in ways that you don't necessarily think of immediately. For instance, water usage. When you've got to, you know, provide irrigation for acres and acres of plants, and you're not allowed to because they're using the water for other things like raging forest fires, or there just hasn't been any water falling, it really matters. And so you're going to start to see climate change really come to the fore. And that's why you're also starting to see, you know, the Pinot Noir that used to be grown in Burgundy, growing up in Germany and, you know, farther north. You're starting to see Pinot Noir and other, you know, lighter reds growing up in the Niagara Peninsula. Things are changing, you know, for what they are. They are changing, and it's definitely going to affect the wine you're drinking. Maybe for the better. Maybe you're going to get some cool new stuff, but it's changing things. So just be aware of that. We are starting to see California wine prices go up. It's probably partially because of that. So just keep that in mind. The other one that I want to talk about, I know I have a whole list, so I'm good whenever Carrie cuts me off. But this is something kind of interesting and on my mind, and I'd be curious. We'll probably be exploring this a little bit as the year goes on. Vegan-friendly wines. So as you may or may not know, in order to get the, you know, microscopic sediments out of wine, sometimes there's a practice called fining. And that involves putting microscopic sediments of things that those naturally occurring sediments will cling to and fall out of solution. Things that are sometimes used, just so you're aware, there's a byproduct of fish platters, byproduct of boiled cow or pig parts, egg whites, and also casein, animal milk protein. These things are gone from your wine before you ever touch it. But in fairness to dietary restrictions, there are now a lot of wines that are not, buy an unfined and unfiltered wine. That's one choice. But there's also some wineries now that are, you know, fining with, you can also fine with clay. So that's a very common thing when people don't want to use those animal byproducts. But just something to be aware of. You're going to start to see this out there. It's not a buzzword like organic, I hope. I hope people don't take that too far. Because, again, it's a serious dietary restriction. If you've chosen that, you should be aware if it's there or not. And most labels do not put that. They won't even put if it's fined or filtered. They'll tell you if it's unfined and unfiltered, because that's kind of desirable by some people, including myself. But they're not going to necessarily tell you. So just do your homework if it's important to you. You'll start to see more and more advertising on what's available. And I'll educate myself because I find it very interesting. Things that did not take off, by the way, but they're still predicting: alternative packaging for wines. Kegs are doing well. You're starting to see a lot of bars and restaurants putting in, you know, a line for white and a line for red. It's not exactly the same lines as you would put in for beer, in case you're curious. But there's a lot of industry reps out there that are now trained to install those, and you're starting to see them in places. The cans, they're still coming out fast and furious, and everybody has them, but I don't necessarily know that, you know, they're going to catch on. Anyway, sounds like I'm running out of time. So, tasting this month, the 18th, we are drinking, by the way, a really good wine called Colosi Nero d'Avola. We'll talk about it some other time, but I'm sorry, it's not on the 18th. It's on the, I don't know, third Thursday.
16th.
Thank you.
I'm guessing.
All right. Well, whatever. Listen, I'll be back next week, and I'll definitely have the date by then. But it's, you know, I couldn't Google it, but I'm suggesting you might. And I don't know.
17th. Thursday, the 17th.
We were, see?
5-7. Had it surrounded.
I knew it all along. The 17th. Come out. We'll do some stuff. Also, I'm putting together a really, really cool couple night event with Chateau Moussard for March. So check that out.
We'll see
talk
you next
more.
Week.
Bye.
Thanks, Eric.